And turn to the book of 1 Samuel, please. 1 Samuel chapter 17. I'd like to commend to you our book of the month on the subject of parenting. Exhaustive book on the issue of raising our children for the Lord. And it's a very good book. And there's plenty in it. So let me encourage you to invest in Dr. Cloud's latest book on keeping our children in church and serving our Lord. He brings out some wonderful principles within that book. And there are some good buys next door. We are providing some good resources at a very, very affordable price. In fact, the church will be subsidizing the bargains on the bargain table. We want you to invest in quality material, so let me encourage you to take the time to have a look. And this is the month to stock up with some spiritual resources for your family. 1 Samuel chapter 17, please, if you look there at verses 2 and 3. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 2 and 3. The Bible reads, "And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah and set the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on the one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side, and there was a valley between them." Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would lead us into truth. We bless you and praise you, O God, that you are on our side. Well, really, O God, we are on your side. And we're so thankful for that more so. And Lord, we do pray that you would lead us into truth this morning. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. I'd like to speak on the subject of the blossoming of a champion. The blossoming of a champion. From 1 Samuel chapter 17. What does it mean to blossom? Well, it means to flower. The flowering of a plant or tree, that's what it is referred to as blossoming. And we're accustomed to mainly seeing plants flowering during our spring season. And just like there is a season when flowering takes place, there is also a time when a spiritual champion will blossom for God's glory. And as we pray for our families, the monthly theme under the banner of praying without ceasing, the month of May, our charge to all is to pray specifically for our families. And as we pray for our families, I would like to exhort all this morning to pray that God will raise up some spiritual champions. From within our homes, just like David of old. A champion that was raised up, a champion that blossomed from the home of Jesse. And within this chapter, we will note some principles concerning the blossoming or the flowering, the manifestation of a champion for the Lord. Now, within this passage of Scripture that we have just read, the Philistines are lined up against Israel. There was a valley between them. This valley is known as the Valley of Elah. And verses 2 to 3 make reference to that. The Israelites lived in the mountains to the east. The Philistines were the sea people. They lived on the coast to the west. And this area in between was a very strategic point of reference. It was what was referred to as the lowlands. This is where many battles were fought between Israel and the Philistines. Whoever controlled this area controlled that part of the world. Within this area known as the Lowlands or the Shephelah, a main trade route went through. And therefore, it was prized territory for one to control. So if you can just picture in your mind the Philistines, they're living on the coast along the Sea of the Mediterranean. And you've got God's people, the nation of Israel, up in the mountains. And as they made their way down from the mountains, and as the Philistines went over some mountains as well, there was a lowlands area. And this was a very important area to dominate. And it's within this area that this great confrontation takes place, known as the battle between David and Goliath, or the nation of Israel and the Philistines. The place of battle. And my friend, this morning we are in a spiritual war today. The Philistines picture our enemy. Our enemy is the devil, the world, the flesh. Our enemy constantly fights against us, wanting to dominate main areas of influence. And this Shephelah area, the lowland, was an area that nations wanted to dominate. It was a battleground. It was a point of battle. It was a very influential point. So we find within this area two opposing forces at war. Consider some of the areas where the devil is wanting to dominate. The area of music, for example. The area of entertainment. The area of the family. The area of education. The area of parenting our children. The area of origins. Brethren, we need some champions that will be willing to go down in the valley of Elah, so to speak, the Shephelah, and fight against the forces of evil and lift up righteousness for the glory of God. In Proverbs 14:34, the Bible reads that righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And it's within the lowlands, this area of battle, that there was this great confrontation that was taking place. And brethren, there is a battle going on today where the devil is wanting to dominate certain areas. The devil is wanting to dominate the area of education. And when you and I take a stand and desire to provide a Christian education for our children, watch out. Goliath is right there wanting to battle. When you and I choose to go down into the lowlands and promote the principle of godly music, watch out, Goliath is there wanting to battle. When you and I take a stand for a godly family and simply believe what the Bible teaches, that God made one man for one woman, and it's within the sanctity of marriage one is to have children, and those children are to be raised up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And when you and I take a stand and we look at the Scriptures and we see that the rod the Bible teaches us imparts wisdom to a child, and we make a stand to live by the principles of the Word of God, bear in mind, you'll have a battle on your hands. Goliath, the one who opposed you. Brethren, we need some champions that will be willing to go down to the valley of Elah, so to speak, that Shephelah, and fight against the forces of evil. David was one champion for the Lord. He was prepared to take on a 10-foot giant, armed and skillful. In verses 4 to 6, a description is given of this man by the name of Goliath. Goliath had so much brass over him that he glowed like a second sun in the middle of the day. He was armed. He was ready to battle. This man stood just under 10 feet high. An absolute giant. And it's within this valley that God blossoms a champion. A champion blossoms and comes to the surface. A champion blossomed from the family of Jesse. And my friend, this morning, may God raise up champions, spiritual champions from within our Christian homes. And I'd like to exhort you, church family members, we need to pray. As we pray for our families during this month, I'd like to encourage you at the start of this month to pray that God will raise up some champions from within our homes. Just like David was raised up, one of 8 children, and yet he was that champion that blossomed for the glory of God. I'd like for us to glean from this chapter some marks of a spiritual champion, blossoming, so to speak, for the glory of God, and making an impact in the world. This is probably the most famous Bible story that we know of today. As far as children's Bible stories, the story of David and Goliath. And my friend, that is not a coincidence. It's no coincidence that John 3:16 is so well known. It's not a coincidence that Psalm 23 is so well known. It's not a coincidence that the story of David against Goliath is so well known. These stories are so well known because God has a special blessing upon these passages of Scripture and these events that are recorded. Let's note the blossoming of a champion from this chapter this morning. I'd like for us to note first and foremost from verse number 14 of chapter 17 that age is not an issue concerning the blossoming of a champion. Age is not an issue. Note then verse number 14, please. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 14. And David was the youngest, and the 3 eldest followed Saul. David was the youngest son of Jesse. We're not told how old David was at this point as he stood before Goliath. We're not told whether he was at a primary age. We're not told whether he was a teenager. We're not told as to whether he was a teenager. We're not told. And I guess God doesn't want us to know. I guess that's why he hasn't told us. The Bible does say he was a good-looking young man. The Bible describes him as ruddy, red, reddish. Either that ruddy is in reference to his complexion, and Bible commentators are divided as to whether that ruddiness is in reference to his reddish complexion, or that the fact that he was good-looking and he had red hair. Depends which commentary you read. But it really doesn't matter. The issue is the Bible teaches us that he was a young man. And also we've got to bear in mind, within a Jewish culture, at the age of 13, a boy was considered a man. At the age of 13. He was considered a man. The Bible teaches us this man, David, was young. See, a champion is not restricted to an age bracket. And it's important that we deal with that issue first and foremost. It doesn't mean, what it simply means is that you don't have to be young to be a champion. And it doesn't mean that if you are old, you can't be a champion. God's wanting champions for His glory. Say amen to that. God's wanting champions for His glory. And championship is not restricted to an age bracket. It's not only a young man that can be a champion. You can be that champion for the glory of God. See? But we are told that he was a young man. He could have been a young adult. He could have been 46 years of age. That's still a young man as far as I'm concerned. Amen. What does the word young really mean? It's a relative term. It's relative. Define young for me. You can't. See? He was a young man. And God wants to blossom a champion for His glory. But this one was a young man. Whatever that means, and I guess we'll find out one day in eternity, how old was David when he took on Goliath? Secondly, I'd like for us to note concerning the blossoming of a champion. So as a way of introduction, the Bible teaches us that David was young. But more importantly, note then verse number 15. I'd like for us to note concerning the blossoming of a champion. I'd like for us to note in verse 15, as it reads, "But David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem." I'd like for us to note that concerning the blossoming of a champion, David was faithful in looking after his sheep. David was found faithful in looking after his sheep. Now, the significance of verse 15 is this. David is already anointed king. He's technically already the new king of the nation of Israel. In chapter 16, verse number 13, the Bible teaches us that Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. So David is already the new anointed king to take over the reign of Saul in the near future. So he's already king. But he continues to be faithful in feeding his sheep. So this position of kingship was yet to be fulfilled. Therefore, he continued to be faithful right where he was at as the new appointed king. David could have had the attitude, "Well, now I'm anointed king, I've got no time to look after some measly bunch of sheep." That could have been his attitude. But it wasn't his attitude. He just remained faithful, looking after his father's sheep, until God literally moved him on. See, our circumstances are divinely appointed. And God will continue to do a work within you in order to do a greater work in and through you for His glory. But you and I need to remain faithful in the little things. See, God might have something great for you, but you need to be faithful. I need to be faithful. And parents, we need to encourage our children to be faithful in the little things, because that greatness is to come. It's in the future. This man was anointed king, yet he continued to feed and look after sheep. He's faithful in the little things. One that is faithful in the little things will be faithful in the bigger things. Also note then verses 17 and 18, please, that he remained under authority. We're referring to a champion that is about to blossom before Goliath. We're noting some principles that were evident in the life of this man that led to a blossoming, an ultimate triumph. This man remained under authority. Note verses 17 and 18, please. "And Jesse said unto David his son, Take now for thy brethren an ephah of this parched corn and these 10 loaves, and run to the camp to thy brethren, and carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of the 1,000, and look how thy brethren fare, and take their pledge." So we find here in verses 17 and 18 that David remained under authority. Though he was the upcoming king, he continued to look after sheep. And he obeyed his father in the little things, in taking care of these food rations on the behalf of his elder brothers. See, God always works through an umbrella of authority. This always harmonizes with his will. God doesn't work outside of divinely appointed authority. And brethren, if you want to blossom as a champion for the glory of God, you remain under God's authority. You remain under the authorities that God has placed over your life. Because God works through umbrellas of authority. See, Saul stepped out of godly authority. Did his own thing. And then in chapter 15, verses 22 and 23, he disqualified himself. In a moment of panic, he went into the temple and made an offering that it was not of his right to do so. Disqualified himself. And if you want to blossom, if I want to blossom as a champion for the glory of God, we must remain under authority. We all have authorities over our lives. And if you haven't worked out who they are and what they are, come and see me. We'll work it out. It's not complicated. Very simple. The blossoming of a champion. This young man was young. This young man was faithful. This young man remained under authority. Note verse 20, please. "And David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with a keeper." The next principle I'd like for us to note concerning David was that he was responsible for his sheep by hiring a shepherd. A hireling to look after his sheep while he was away. He did not disobey in one area in order to obey in another area. That would have been irresponsible. David was commissioned to take some food rations to his brothers. And he didn't neglect his sheep. He made sure that somebody was caring for his little fold of sheep while he obeyed his father in another area. We find responsibility in the life of this young man. Just like it would be irresponsible to be so consumed with serving the Lord to neglect our walk with God. See, the fulfillment of one responsibility should not endorse the irresponsibility in another area of duty. For example, it would be irresponsible for me to be so consumed with the work of God to neglect my own family. That would be irresponsible. So we need to take ownership of all the tasks that God has given to us. Our studies, our home duties, our jobs. We need to continue to be responsible. Young people, listen to me this morning. If you want to blossom as a champion for the Lord, be responsible right where you are at. I'm a pastor, you don't realize. I want to conquer the world. Well, God bless you. You conquer the little world right now. You conquer the little world of your studies. You conquer the little world of obeying your parents. You conquer the little world of washing those dishes properly. Taking out that rubbish when your parents tell you, take out that rubbish. You conquer the world by just being faithful and responsible right where you are at. Because I doubt whether you'll conquer the world out there if you're not responsible enough to take care of the rubbish and put out the rubbish in the bin when you're told to do it. See? Be responsible. And parents, we need to promote responsibility within our homes.
Oh, but Pastor, my children aren't responsible. Well, God has provided an area where discipline needs to be applied, and that will cause them to be responsible. It's an amazing thing. God has provided a pattern area. If applied with the rod of wisdom, you'll be amazed how responsible your children will become. Do you want your children to blossom as champions? Well, they need to be responsible right where they're at. Little things, see. David wasn't irresponsible. He made sure his sheep were taken care of. Note then verse 22, a respect for his brethren. At the end of verse 22 it reads, and he saluted his brethren. Their lives were not worthy of much honor, really. Nevertheless, David honored them. They were his elders. He honored them. He honored his brothers. They were all older than he. And families, if we want a champion to blossom from our homes, we need to make sure that there is respect and honor within the home. In Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, the Bible makes reference to obedience and honor. And they equal long life and good health. We don't read of sibling rivalry from David's side. It's a dishonor when we allow this in our homes. And parents, I'd like to stress to you, don't tolerate sibling rivalry within the home. It is wrong, it's dishonorable. And you need to deal with it. If you tolerate that, then you are endorsing that. There's no place for it in the Scriptures. And if you want your child to be a champion for the Lord, if your child can't get along with its own siblings, what hope? What hope do they have of conquering the world? If they can't live with blood family and get along, what hope do they have of conquering the world? Oh, but Pastor, it's just natural. No, well, it is natural. It's sinfully natural. In our home, rivalry, one strike, you're out. It doesn't happen. It won't happen. I've tried to teach my children, your best friends are your own brothers and sisters. It's a choice. Yes, naturally sinful, Pastor, that's what it is. You need to deal with it, parents. And David showed honor to his elder brothers. They really weren't worthy of it, but they were his elder, so he saluted them, the Bible teaches us. He honored them. Let's read on in verses 26. We note that he recognized a great need. In verse 26 it reads, and David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to this man that killeth this Philistine, and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine, that he should defy the armies of the living God? Another mark of greatness in the life of David was that he recognized the greater need at hand. He clearly discerned the great need at hand. Somebody was needed to fight Goliath. And brethren, a champion will blossom in the right time. Think of Noah, Moses, Nehemiah, Boaz, Esther, the list could go on and on and on. There are plenty of little needs around us, but there are some major needs around us. And a champion that is blossoming is one that recognizes that greater need. A champion knows the issues and will address the issue. David said, is there not a cause? There in verse 29, is there not a cause? There's a reason why we are here today, said David. There's a reason why I am here today. A true champion knows what is at risk. He knows what the issues, where the issues are at. God's name has been defamed, said David.
And we need to exalt the glory of God. He recognized the greater need. That's a champion in the making. Note then verse 28, please. Let's read on. David could handle criticism. David could handle criticism. Note what Eliab, his eldest brother, said to him. David honored his brothers. This is what he gets in return. The Bible teaches us that Eliab was angry against David and said, "Why have you come hither?" He said, "I know of your pride and the naughtiness of thine heart." Eliab criticized David. But we don't read that David retaliated. David didn't retaliate. Eliab said of David that you are full of pride. Saul, in a nicer way, basically said to David, "You really aren't capable of taking on Goliath. But if that's what you want to do, go for it." And then Goliath swears at David, calls him some horrible names. And in all of that, David did not retaliate. You're listening to me this morning, he didn't retaliate. He could handle criticism. There is the mark of a champion. One that can handle some criticism. The average person is spineless. They can't handle criticism. Well, if that's your life, that's my life, then we've got a long way to go before we can become a champion for the Lord. This young man, we're not told how young he was. He was obviously a young man, but yet he was criticized by his eldest brother. He was criticized by the king. He was criticized by Goliath. But yet we don't read that he retaliated. Didn't break out into tears and run home. No, he stood his ground. He could handle criticism. Can you handle criticism? Can you handle criticism? A mark of your maturity is the ability to handle criticism. When are you old enough to receive criticism? Well, when God in His providence allows it in your life. Amen. Psalm 109 verse 4, David said, "For my love, they are my adversaries, but I give myself unto prayer." See, life is not fair. Life was never meant to be fair. Why would it be fair? We live in a sinful world. And if you want justice and fairness to prevail on this side of eternity, you're playing games. It ain't going to happen. You might get little pockets of it here or there, but don't expect it all the time, every time. It ain't going to happen. Because we live in a sin-cursed world. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. David could handle criticism. David had credibility in verses 34 to 36. Saul said to David, "Now, are you sure you want to do this?" In essence, that's what he said to David. David said to King Saul, "Now, Saul, I'd like to serve you. I'd like to take care of Goliath for you." And the king said, "Now, are you sure you can handle this?" And time has run away, but here in verses 34 to 36, David basically said to the king, "Now, king, I'd like to share with you that I was by God's grace and God's power, I was able to defeat a bear and a lion with my bare hands. And I think if God enabled that power, then I think I can take care of Goliath." So King Saul said, "Okay, so be it." And he gave his blessing to take on Goliath. See, David was no stranger to God. His power has already been channeled. God's power has already been evident in the life of David. This is just the next project. And God said, "If I can help you, David, to defeat a lion and a bear, I can certainly help you to conquer this giant." And David understood that. See, greatness rises to new levels. This is David's next opportunity to prove the power of God upon his life. He had credibility. He had faith in the Lord. Next principle. He had faith in the Lord. He said, God's going to help me. He said, God's going to help me. Note there in verse 45, and David said to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword, with a spear, with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This man had faith in God. David's faith was in the power of God, not in his abilities or his skills. Saul's armor did not fit him. In the same way, the world's methods will not get the work of God done. We need the power of God. God provided 5 stones for David, but he only needed one. He only needed one. So the power of God was on David's side. He believed this, and by faith he acted upon it. In fact, in verse 48, I love this, the Bible teaches us that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. He ran towards him. David didn't wait for Goliath to come to him. He ran towards him. And that would have been very hard to run towards your opponent, get your little stone ready to go to run, aim, and shoot. That would have been difficult. But it wasn't abnormal to him. He'd often used that slingshot. He knew how to use it well. He knew how to use it to kill adversaries. He had faith in the Lord. And the Bible goes on to read verses 49 and 50. We've got to read this. Bear with me. I'm almost there. Do you believe me? I'm almost there. And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slung it and smote the Philistine in his forehead. And the stone sunk into his forehead. And he fell upon his face to the earth. Now why is it that Goliath, now you've seen in the children's books, well some of the children's books, you'll see Goliath flying backwards. Flying through the air backwards. That's not Bible. There are 2 theories as to why he fell forward. As one man said, what took place was the stone came, and as it hit Goliath's head, God knocked Goliath down. That's one theory. But probably a more truer theory is that Goliath was so strong that stone just jolted him. And as it began to penetrate, he just dropped forward. Because he was just so strong. Such a powerful man. Verse number 50, the Bible reads, and David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him. And there was no sword in the hand of David. This man had faith in God. That's the blossoming of a champion. And note then verse 51. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine. He kept running and took his sword, whose sword? Goliath's sword. And drew it out of his sheath thereof, and slew him, and cut off his head therewith. That's good, children, isn't it? He finished the job, see? That's the blossoming of a champion, see? He finished the job. He completed the job. And young children, if you want to be a champion, you finish the job, all right? You finish the job. When you wash that plate or wash that cup, you dry that cup. Amen? And then you put that cup away. Amen? That's finishing the job. Think of David chopping off Goliath's head. Finish the job. Finish the job. You have the makings of a champion if you'll learn to finish the job. See? So he sliced Goliath's head off and carried that head back to Jerusalem. Who for? Just to parade before the king and to show God's people that God is really Lord of all. Meanwhile, the rest of the Israelites pursued the Philistines, and the Bible teaches us they spoiled their goods. Bunch of cowards. They let David do all the hard work. And the Philistines got on the back foot, and all of a sudden they became courageous. And they spoiled the goods of the Philistines. Bunch of cowards they were. But more importantly, there was a champion in the midst. His name was David. Let me close by saying, did this event make David a hero? Did this event make David a hero? Yes or no? Talk to me. Talk to me. Yes and no. Yes and no. It's my opinion. Let me explain. A champion has been in the making for some time. Do you agree with that? David was not an overnight champion. God's been working in his life. God's building a champion. But within this event, we find this champion blossoms. And brethren, we need to pray that from our families, that spiritual champions will arise and blossom from within. He fully blossomed against Goliath in the Valley of Elah, that battlefield. Our monthly theme is prayer for our families. And church family, I'd like to exhort you, pray for champions to arise from our church family. And all God's people said? Yes. And listen to me, Christian. I'm almost done. Look here. Note all the qualities in the life of David. He was not a success overnight. God built a man. God was building a champion. And note all of those wonderful qualities in the life of David, that all of them came to a point where a champion blossomed. It wasn't a coincidence. It wasn't a fluke. God was building a man. God was raising up a champion. Young people, you be that next champion. You be that next champion. Parents, you pray for that next champion from your home. And note the qualities that we need to cultivate within our homes that we might raise up champions for the glory of God. Let's stand, please. Thank you for your attention.